We will first give the floor to Marion Guillou. Marion Guillou was formerly the Director General of INRA, a very respected research institute in France, Institut National de Recherche Agronomique. And she has recently published a book called The World's Challenge, Feeding the 9 Billion. It's published at the Edition Quay. The English translation has just come out. And she also has been tasked by the French Minister of Agriculture, Stéphane Le Foll, with a mission on the doubly productive agriculture, meaning, I suppose, both economically productive and environmentally sustainable. Marion, the floor is yours. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So, good evening to everybody. I will try to find my presentation somewhere. Where is it? Is there a technical help possible? I cannot see where you've put it. I don't know where it is.
It looks more and more like a theater stage, doesn't it?
Okay. Your slides, your son. Marion Guillou. Okay. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Thank you. So, in fact, I will try to sketch out the situation for the future of food and the way we could try to decrease, of course, the number of people with food insecurity. And starting to talk about food security, of course, I want to recall that today food insecurity is not a problem of volume, because we have enough to feed all the 7 billion of people. But it's a problem of access, it's a problem of inequalities, it's a problem of economic development, it's a problem of volatility of prices, speculation on the land, and so on. And Amartya Sen put it very well when he said that, in fact, hunger doesn't mean that there is not enough food, but that some have not enough. And so today, the problems to feed 7 billion people are linked, I would guess, I think, to three main items, and I shall comment on. The first on my presentation will be the unsustainability of agricultural growth because of environmental limits. The second one will be the volatility of the prices, and the second new problem, well, the problem that is occurring everywhere now, that is the nutritional insecurity. And the third one will be poverty, capabilities, inequalities. People cannot afford to buy their food or to invest for production. Of course, I should have done that first, but I have to apologize because you will realize that I speak quite Franglish, but I hope you will understand. So the lessons from the past are always very useful to understand the situation now. So if you look at the different FSU is former Soviet Union, SSI is South Sahara, Africa, MENA is Middle East and North Africa, and Latin America is LAM. Maybe you understand that. So if you look at the past 50 years, the Green Revolution has had a very big influence in the different regions. And for instance, if you look at OECD countries, at the moment, 25,000 kilocalories per day per hectares are produced on average. It's the same as in Asia. But of course, the situation is very different. When you look at the workforce productivity, in France, for instance, in the Beauce, that is a very intensive zone, it's 420,000 kilocalories per worker per day. In Asia, it's 10,000, so it's 14 times less productivity by worker. But of course, the target is not the same because they need to have work. And in certain countries, insufficient factors of production have led to a small, well, to a lower increase in production. And in other countries, as former Soviet unions, of course, it's a socio-economic disorganization that made it decrease. It's the only zone in the world where it decreased in the 50 last years. But the Green Revolution model has limits. And of course, today we realize that the environmental limits on water, greenhouse gases, soil, or biodiversity are real problems. And the second limit I would like to underline, as I am a food scientist, is that now we need to have a look at the whole food system and not only at the agricultural production system. That is to, and that's why, from my point of view, two changes are required for countries that still need a big investment in their food sector. The first one is what I call sustainable intensification. That is to say that we should be careful about the double competitivity, you called it, or double productivity. I mean, you target economy, of course, because people need to earn their living, but you have to target at the same time ecological efficiency. And of course, that means that it will be more adapted to local conditions and to social conditions, and that you have no more ready-to-wear agricultural models. You will have to work with the farmers and to have an innovation process that is built with the farmers. And the second one, message I would like to give is that you have to decrease the waste and losses, and that's why you need to look at the whole food system. And when you look at the FAO investment figures that have been given to try to feed the world, half of the investment they values, well, they approximately give, is targeted on reducing post-harvest losses, silos, roads to go to markets, and first processing of the raw products in the country. And the difficulty is that, of course, those investments are long-time return investment, 10 to 15 years. So that was my first point. We should change the agricultural growth system. My second point is about two new insecurities, if you want. Here you see the evolution of the number of undernutrition in the world. And of course, you see that there have been different events. In 2008, that is the agricultural price peak. In 2009, the financial crisis. 2010, the recovery. And 2011, again, a new increase in agricultural prices. And one of the problems is then the volatility of the prices and the fact that when the prices are high, the poor people in the urban cities, in the urban zones, cannot feed themselves anymore. So that means that we have to take a lot of decisions at global level to decrease the volatility of the prices. And maybe I won't give details now, but we could come back to that. The second new insecurity, if I can say that, is that at the moment you have overnutrition and obesity increasing sometimes in the same places as undernutrition. And of course, the problem will be to deal with both of them because often the price of fat calories or sugar calories is very low so that you can have the two problems in the same places. So that's what we call double burdens. So now I think the agricultural and the food and the nutrition issues are really interlinked. My third message is about inequalities. Of course, here I show you the evolution of the trade surpluses and deficits. And you see that the zones are, some are increasingly exporting, and some are, of course, increasingly importing. So, and those differences are increasing with the time. And that's the first problem, of course. And so we have to secure the trade between the zones, and the climate change will increase those problems. And the second problem is of course, inequalities between the people and the 925 million or something people that are undernourished, especially in Asia and in sub-Saharan Africa. And so what we should look at is decisions to take to fight those problems. And in fact, we have first to be sure that we have no regret solutions. And that's why we have done a work in INRA and CIRAD in France about the scenarios for 2050, looking at what will be the problems in the coming years. And we compare the business as usual scenario, what we called GO, and a normative scenarios, what we call a sustainable scenario, while all the people in the world have 3,000 kilocalories per person per day, what is enough, in fact, even if you look at the losses. And with ecosystems and environmental issues being taken into account. And in fact, we looked at the questions that we have in the different scenarios, and then we propose solutions. And when you look at the solutions, we put, the conclusions, if you want, we insist on four conclusions. First, we need to change the model of agricultural production. What we call sustainable intensification, again, is with a diversity of models, they won't be ready to wear. I want to insist on that. And that's why I am on the third club Olivier has quoted, that is to say coexistence between the small farms and the big farms. Then the second point we insisted on is that food consumption behaviors are very important to understand what will be the evolution of the world food security. And in fact, if we eat 4,000 something as in OECD countries, it will be impossible to have food security in the world. But if we, you know, the 3,000 I have quoted, make it possible. And of course, one solution is to decrease the food waste and losses that are around 30% to 50% at the moment, globally. Then the trade issue, so that we are careful to have exchanges, so that it's more reliable for countries that have climate incidents. And at the same time, that we deal with the volatility issue at global level. And of course, the fourth issue, but as that is more a long-term issue, is about the climate change. And if I look at those conclusions, you see that the measures that can be taken, except for the fourth one, but you have to work about at the same time. But the three first issues are no regret solutions to feed the world today. And in fact, when I look at the IFPRI work about Africa, south of the Sahara, we find, in fact, those solutions that are put, that are underlined. And of course, they say that the best way to fight undernutrition in South Sahara Africa is to promote growth in agricultural subsectors with strong linkages to the overall economy and to the poor. So that is to say staple food and livestock production. So it is linked, in fact, to smallholders production. And if I look at the solutions for the world, and Olivier was talking about the mission I have now in France, to change the model of agricultural growth. And we are thinking about the way to do that. And in fact, we have found what we call pioneers. You know, there are maybe 3,000 farmers in France that do differently because they invented new systems that are both productive on factors of production and economic, very positive for their income. And what we can notice, and it is not published at the moment, not yet published, but it will be published, is that in fact they have a good income, they are more productive on the ecological side, but they need more investment and they need more work. And so maybe that's what I want to put on the table for the debate for tonight. Thank you for your attention.
Okay, so thank you very much, Marion Guillou, for this this first presentation. And it will be interesting to return to a number of questions you raised, including how trade as the ultimate insurance policy against climate change can be reconciled with what you also emphasize, which is the need to reinvest in local food systems that are integrated with the local economies, where sometimes trade has been making this impossible because not sufficiently efficient economically.